following podcast is presented by Wellspring of Life Church, a community of faith, hope, and purpose.
Good evening, everybody. What do you guys say we start out tonight reading the Bible? That sound good? All right. If you guys want to open up to Luke chapter 5, Luke chapter 5. How many of you guys love interruptions? Yeah, I am admittedly a person of convenience. I love convenience, I do. And it's one of my areas of struggle, being inconvenienced. And I've had to really work through that as I have a family. Right? And you guys who have had a family, have kids, you guys know what it means to be inconvenienced on a regular basis. And it's helped to grow me quite a bit. Being a teacher also, it is a job of flexibility and constant inconveniences. And it's really helped. The Lord has been chipping off some pretty rough edges through the process of that. But I still admit that I struggle in times when there's some interruptions to things that I would like to see happen and don't happen. And then I see that kind of working out in my children too, and their frustrations over it. And it's the Lord's kind of used me in a way to talk into their lives too through my experiences with it. But tonight I want to talk about interruptions and how not only should we accept them, but we should embrace them and capitalize on them, and even at times pursue them. And we'll look at that through the lens of how Jesus lived, right? And that's where we always want to come back to. Yes. Navigate our lives through how Jesus demonstrated the life of a believer. So we're going to look at a story to open this up out of Luke chapter 5. And it's a story that I know you guys are probably pretty familiar with. We're going to pick up in verse 17. On one of those days, as Jesus, was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with him to heal. So all of a sudden right here, just setting the context, we know, you know, Jesus is in the midst of teaching to a pretty good audience, pretty good sized audience. If we had the opportunity to speak to people from all over the world or all over the region right there, like the last thing we would want is to be interrupted, right? We'd want to be doing our thing. We'd be wanting to get to the peak of our message, and then we would get interrupted. And I don't know how all of us would handle it. It'd be like, you know, Dave's in here, I'm in here, and then somebody just bursts through that door in the middle of the message who needs help. How would we handle that? Let's see how Jesus handles it. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. So right there, you know, it's not like the roof was open or anything. It's not stadium or anything. They would have had to clear a way through the roof. They would have had to make a hole right through the roof to let him down. Jesus, who knows if he was like in the middle of speaking to somebody and then this happens. And how do you embrace that? How do you seize those opportunities? Do you get frustrated? Do you get angry? Would you yell and be like, I can't believe you're just interrupting me. I was just in the middle of sharing with these people. But no, Jesus looks at this and seizes the opportunity. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies, who can forgive sins but God alone? But Jesus perceived their thoughts, and he answered them, why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them, picked up what he had been laying on, and went home, glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Without that interruption, this man would not be walking. I mean, we never know. We never know what interruption God has put in our path to not only teach us or to use us, but to teach and amaze others and to bring glory to his name. Yes. It would have been so easy for Jesus to be angry at this moment of interruption. How rude to tear a hole in somebody's ceiling. How rude to interrupt him when he was preaching and teaching and healing. But no, Jesus embraced it and he welcomed him in and he did a miracle. And through that miracle, he taught an amazing lesson. And I read this, and we're going to read several other examples, but you see the ministry of Jesus, the life of Jesus was constant interruptions. And we never read one time where Jesus throws a fit and gets angry at the interruption. So often he pauses and he turns his attention to the interruption and he capitalizes on it. You know, I was a little over a week ago, my Christian club, we were getting ready for an outreach. We do this thing, it's called Devotion Donuts. You know, as Christian ministries, we got to have those silly little jingle things, you know, with our stuff. So we call them Devotion Donuts. So we get donuts and we get all these Bible verses and we go out into the school at lunchtime, and the kids, my Christian kids, offer them like, hey, I'll give you a donut if you're willing to read a Bible verse and tell us what you think it means. And that's it. And they go all over the school, and these donuts go quick. And it's an amazing experience. Like, teenagers will do about anything for a donut. So why not get them to talk about the Bible, right? And Kenny too. So we're in the middle of setting up for this, right? And we got the donuts out, the verses are ready to go. I just prayed over the group, and we're getting ready to walk out, and these two kids come in and interrupt things. And I was frustrated, right? I was frustrated. I'm like, Mr. Stocker, can we get your help with something? And thank the Lord, he like in an instant turned my mind from frustration to like, here's an opportunity. You haven't gotten out yet, I'm bringing them to you. And I was like, yeah, I'll help you out if you would like to have a donut and read a Bible verse. I could get in some big trouble for that. I'm not kidding. I could get in big trouble for that, but I didn't care, right? I'm like, I feel like the Lord is leading me to do this. And here I end up getting, these kids are like, yeah, donuts, awesome. So they eat the donut and they read the verse, and I get to have this conversation with the two of them about the Bible, about God's love and God's faithfulness and God's goodness. And they're like, you know what? We're good. Thank you, Mr. Stockert. They didn't even need help with anything else. They got the help that God wanted them to have that day.
Yes. Amen.
And the kids went out, the Christian club kids went out and did their thing. I'm like, okay, I'm going to go catch up with them. And because I like to be out there walking around just in case they get heckled. You never know how they're going to get received. And I'm getting ready to walk out, and here comes two more. I'm like, and you think I learned my lesson, but I'm getting frustrated again. Oh, man. So all the donuts were gone, too, so I couldn't offer them a donut. But then the one kid just starts like, Mr. Socket, I've been making some bad choices. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. So he sits down, and we have this conversation. It's his friend's sits down, too, and we get to talk about God's mercy and God's goodness again here. And I get to share with him a little bit of my story and help to encourage him. So that's my lunch, is just sitting in there and talking with these kids about the Lord. And at the end of that, I'm just like, God used me how he wanted me to. He used the kids. They came back about 15 minutes later, like, the donuts are all gone. They went through like three dozens of donuts like that. So that's over 30 kids like that read and talked about the Bible there. So it was amazing. And those were some interruptions that were incredible.
Yes.
Absolutely incredible. Following week, so this Monday, I'm up there talking. I'm starting this new thing. We're talking about legacy, leaving a legacy. And I'm right in the middle of sharing. And this kid walks in with some of his friends and just interrupted everything. He's like, I got something to say to everybody. And he's just like being obnoxious, right? He's being very obnoxious. And again, as if I didn't learn from the week before, I'm getting upset. I'm getting frustrated. But thinking back to the week before, I paused. And I'm like, God, before I say anything, I'm going to be led by you. And I waited, and the kid was done with his interruption about 3 minutes. And I felt that whole time like God wanted me to just invite him to stay. So after he was done, I said, you know what? That was great. And I kind of joked around with him a little bit. How would you and your friends like to stay? They're like, yeah, sure. And they went and sat in the back. And for the next 20 minutes, they got to hear about Jesus. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, like these interruptions that I have that natural tendency to just get so frustrated about, look how God used those opportunities. And by means, it's nothing like this. I didn't heal somebody who was paralyzed, right? But I tried to be faithful, and there have been so many times where I haven't been. There's so many times when I disregarded interruptions, tried to silence interruptions, and I really am trying my hardest to not do that. Because I want to be used by the Lord, and I know you guys want to be used by the Lord too, and so often that comes through the interruptions that we have in life, the unplanned things that we have, that we face in life. So we're going to jump over to Mark. We're going to hang out in the book of Mark here a little bit. I'm going to look at three other examples. And we're going to be in Mark 1 to start with. And I just thought it would be a good idea to look at some times when Jesus was interrupted and how he handled it and what came out of it. So in Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28, we're going to read a lot of scripture tonight. I hope you guys are good with that. And they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Sounds good. It's something he did quite a bit teaching, but in his teaching, there's going to be so many interruptions, like these three others that we're going to look at. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. Again, like, you get somebody that starts to heckle you and harass you. And I don't know about you guys, but if somebody were to come at me like that, I wouldn't have the desire to help them. Especially if I'm in the middle of doing something important. And Jesus was doing something important. But Jesus takes that opportunity to set this man free. Yes. And uses that as the teaching highlight of what he was doing that day. And it amazes everybody You know, I think, who knows, I might be wrong, but I think if somebody came charging into a church, yelling and being obnoxious and being rude and being mean, probably get kicked out, right? Probably get run right out of the church. But in how many churches, I hope this is one of them, would we embrace that person and seek to help them? No matter what we're doing, middle of prayer, middle of worship, middle of a message, whatever, we would seize that opportunity, that interruption, because God could have brought that person there to be helped,
yes,
even though they approached it in the wrong way. I believe that God brought this person to Jesus at that moment to be set free. May we be open to those opportunities as well. Yeah. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 now. This is a little bit longer of one. We're going to look at actually two interruptions in this story. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. So Jesus has already been really, really busy, right? And he's gone across the sea. He just healed He just healed somebody from another unclean spirit, and now he's coming back over, and he's getting surrounded by a crowd and teaching there beside the sea. And again, it's another one of those opportunities where we would embrace that and use that as an opportunity and try to capitalize as much as we could on sharing our message. And then if we get interrupted like he does, how would we handle this? So let's look at verse 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. Jesus was busy. He was really busy, but when somebody asked him for help, he helped them. He went with them. The crowd followed, yes, but he left the crowd for the one.
Yes.
And on his way to help the one, another one is going to come to the presence of Jesus. And the great crowd followed him and thronged about him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garments. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus perceived in himself that a power had gone out of him, and immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around and to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." So it would have been easy for Jesus to just keep going, to not stop and spend time with the woman, to not encourage her and uplift her. But he stopped while he was on his way to do something very important. He was going to go save a life. Yeah. He was going to go raise someone from the dead. And yet he stopped because this woman needed him. This woman needed that encounter. This woman needed to be shown and told that she was loved and that she was healed and that she was made well. And he stopped and faced her and talked to her and showed her how important she was. And there are going to be times when we are doing something important, on our way to do something important, and somebody is going to be put in front of us that is going to need to be told they are loved, They are valued. God wants them. God desires them. They are important. They are a workmanship. They are all of these things. They need to be encouraged and built up, and their life may depend on it. And we need to be willing to stop even when we're on our way to do the important things, to face those people, to take that time and to speak into their lives. And then he continues on. While he was still speaking, there came the rulers from the house who had said that your daughter is dead. Why trouble to treat the teacher anymore? And Jesus continues on. You guys know the story. And he goes there and he goes in the room with the little girl and he calls her to rise. He left the crowd, found the woman, raised the girl, all because he was willing to embrace the interruptions that were brought to his life. Let's go to Mark chapter 10 now. This is one that hits home with me a lot because I have children, you know, and it's, and as I said at the beginning, like, children can bring a lot of interruptions. And I am trying and have been trying to see those interruptions for what they are. And they are an opportunity for me to speak life into their lives. And what it takes for the more important things. And here in chapter 10, verse 13, it says, and this is, Jesus has been teaching, he's been talking about marriage and divorce, and these people start bringing kids to him. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. And I think a lot of us would have the same reaction as the disciples, right? Like, get away, take the children away, because Jesus is busy, right? But no, Jesus says, when he saw them, and he saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for so belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and he blessed them, laying his hands on them. Now, everybody in this church is important, but I think sometimes we forget just how important the children are in this church. And I'm not just saying that because three of them are mine, but the children truly are the future of this church. They are the future of Christ's kingdom here on earth. And doing this, doing worship, hanging out with adults, having the grown-up conversations is easy. But investing in the children is a lot more difficult. But it reaps a reward that sometimes we don't ever see, and we may never see. But we don't know which one of those children are going to be standing up here. We're going to be standing up here. Or we're going to be out on the mission field and they're going to be changing lives. And whenever my kids interrupt my plans during the day, I am trying to say thank you, Lord. And just wrap my arms around them and spend that time with them and use those moments to speak into their lives. And so often when I do that, Jesus is speaking into my life through them. You know, we can see a lot of what we see as interruptions really are actually just intersections of someone else's life with ours. And in that intersection, God's plan is playing out. You know, we can fall into this thinking that our lives are linear, right? That we go from birth to death. But instead, I believe our lives are more like a spider web, an element, a thread within a spider web. And when that spider web hits another line and entangles and intersects with that other line, that is when our lives are intersecting with somebody else, that God is weaving this tapestry for us to interact, and it's on purpose. Our lives need to be lived on purpose because God is directing our lives on purpose and intersecting people in our lives on purpose and interrupting our lives on purpose. And you know, we're not running parallel to other people. But instead, we live and our lives are actually meeting people at crucial moments. And I wonder how many of them we miss. Yes. Because our eyes are on this, or our eyes are on this, or our eyes are somewhere else besides being up and out and looking at the people in our lives and embracing the moments that we're being interrupted and asking God to keep our eyes open to those opportunities and to set our own preferences aside so that we can capitalize on what God is doing in our lives. You know, I think so often the problem is that we sometimes see those intersections as, like what I shared, they're inconveniences. Yeah. We might be on our way to a birthday party and we see somebody broken down on the side of the road. It would be inconvenient to stop and help them because we're going to be late to the birthday party. Yeah. But really, what is more important? Helping somebody in distress or being on time to a birthday party? Our priorities, a lot of times, are just all mixed up. And I'm speaking from my own personal experience. You know, I'll be like, today too, and leave it to God, you know, I'm going to be talking about interruptions. All of today was interrupted. Every moment of today was filled with interruptions. And I'm just like, all right, that's how it's going to be. I needed to sit down and do some fine tuning to my notes, and my son comes up and he's like, "Hey, Dad, would you please play with me?" I'm like, "Of course. This is important, right? Doing what I was going to do tonight, being prepared for tonight, that's important. But investing in my son's life is more." Amen. And normally, I would have been like, "Not now, son, in a little while, let me finish this." But the truth is, we don't know if in a little while is going to happen. Right. I don't know how many opportunities I'm going to have. I'm going to wake up one day and my son's going to stop asking me to play with him. Yeah. But there's always going to be stuff to get done. But we can't let that stuff to get done get in the way of the stuff that needs to be done. When we look at interruptions as inconveniences, it assumes two things. One, that we have a goal. Like, we got to be somewhere, we got to get a project done, we got to accomplish something. That's our goal. And then number two, that goal is more important than whatever the interruption is. But I wonder how often we're missing it. I wonder how often we're looking at that goal and putting it above something that we never should. And if we look at those interruptions, like, God is bringing somebody to you. God wants you to invest in somebody. God wants you to step aside from what you're doing and focus on this and focus on them and be a listening ear. If our goal is to be in the will of God, I think those interruptions will look a whole lot more like opportunities. You know, oftentimes God just interrupts our lives with really amazing opportunities. And he tells us, he commissions us to always be ready. to carry the message of the cross with us, to carry the message of hope, to carry the message of love, to carry the message of peace wherever we go, and to be ready at the drop of a hat to deliver that message. And we can't do that if we are too busy to embrace the interruptions. In 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul says to be ready in season and out of season to share the word. In 1 Peter 3:15, Peter says to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. In Ephesians 5, we're called to live wisely and to make the most of every opportunity. You know, Jesus himself, as we've seen throughout Scripture, lived with constant interruptions. And I think it's safe to say that he made the most of every opportunity. Think if he didn't, how many lives would not have been touched. And I don't know about you guys, but when I walk out this door, even before, we don't know what interruptions are going to happen, I want my eyes to be open to what God wants to do through those. Yes. Because I'm sure I have been an interruption to so many people's lives. Right, Mom? And I can think of so many examples where people in my life embraced my interruption and took time to invest in me. And it's all been part of that tapestry that God is weaving and painting and working in my life. And my life has been changed by those people. And I want to change people's lives as well. And because Jesus lived with constant interruption, he's calling his followers to do the same thing. And if we start to look at things with a heavenly perspective, those inconveniences really might just turn into something beautiful. And I just wanted to spend some time just praying over you guys too, praying over myself. And I want to encourage you guys too, if you found yourself being short with somebody or not embracing interruptions, it's never too late to apologize. It's never too late to start again. It's never too late to go back and try to seize those opportunities that you maybe have missed. So if you guys will just pray with me. Lord God, I thank you. I thank you how you have interrupted my life. How you have personally interrupted my life. So many times when I was living for myself and not on the path that you laid before me, in your divine wisdom, you have interrupted me over and over because you love me. And I thank you, God, for the interruptions that you have brought into the lives of the people in this room, that you have stepped in and inconvenienced them in a way that they could only see you in the midst of it. Thank you that your inconveniences at times just drive us to our knees. Thank you for using broken people like us to share your message of healing and redemption and love and mercy. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes open for the next person you're bringing into our life. Help us to go in power of the Holy Spirit. Help us to speak boldly. Help us to listen with ears wide open, and help us to never shy away from an opportunity to share your love with someone. Help us to get ourselves out of the way, as we say so often in this room, and put you on display. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message by Wellspring of Life Church in Western Colorado. If you'd like to learn more about our community, please visit wellspringoflifechurch.com. So I will lift up.